Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 17th, 2019. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And if you use the cell phone, I ask that you would please text it first, because I made a mistake of giving out my phone number on a survey my wife sent online, and so I'm getting all kinds of bogus ads and things in it. So just to make sure I know it's somebody, a lot of times I'm just not quick to answer it when I've got three bogus phone calls in a row, and then the fourth one might be you. So text me, let me know what you want, and I'll call you back. Anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all of our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations, and so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Medellin, Colombia, Tehran, Italy, Kingston, Jamaica, Adelaide, Australia, and of course cities in the United States such as Arlington, Texas, Tampa, Florida, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Aurora, Illinois beat Wichita, Kansas this week is the highest number of podcast downloads when the program later on tonight goes to podcast. Anyway, previous programs. Please follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. And now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, last week, we did a program which I entitled The Invasion of America. Well, it got like double the amount of downloads. Like I said, I can't tell how many people listen to radio when I'm doing live radio, period. But I can tell when they go to downloads, basically turn into podcasts later on tonight. But so those podcasts doubled in number last week for the specific program I did last week called, entitled Invasion of America. I did that program with Frank Stefan, and he, as you know, folks, or most of you know, that he is the producer of this program. He's the guy in the background. He also is the founder of American Voice Radio, and he has a radio program of his own called The Frank Report. And so I asked Frank to come back on tonight to see if we've left some important things out about what's going on, about this invasion that is indeed going on in America. So, Frank, are you there with me?
I am.
Sure. Amen. Let me start with this, and then we can take it anywhere you want to go, but I just thought this was real important. This came from a news article I was looking at a while ago, and it says, the grim discovery of skeletons of 127 dead migrants in southern Arizona in 2018 and reports of a significant increase in people other than Mexicans, they call them OTMs, and this is what I wanted to point out, OTMs, that's other than Mexicans, crossing the U.S. southern border, contradict the major media's and Democrats' assertion that the illegal immigration situation is a manufactured crisis. The Trump administration stated that 3,700 people were identified as coming from countries with terrorism problems that have been apprehended at the border. And also, there's a lot of ranchers that are getting together and say, hey, look out now, we're finding prayer rugs all over the place. And so they're finding prayer rugs, so that means there's a lot of Muslims coming in. Anyway, so it's more than it's not a manufactured crisis, but what do you have to think about this, Frank? Where do you want to take it?
I don't know. Where do you want to take it? I mean, there's so many things that, you know, you can start focusing on, and, you know, and you can't almost help but go down a rabbit trail after a while, because, like I said, there's so many different things, you know. I mean, there's no problem finding problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think, honestly, here in America? What do you think is the major problem in America? The biggest foundational problem, this is the one. Like, if we could only fix one problem, which one would it be for you?
It'd be the border.
Okay.
Absolutely, because with the border, it cures a lot of other problems. Let me go with this. Here, the biggest thing that I see of these influx of people that are coming in, and let's even forget about the fact that some of them are criminals. And, you know, there's some people that just want a better job, better life. But, and maybe forget it. Let's take out a thing that people that are terrorists or whatever. But the difference between these people coming in and people that are on their way in is most of these people do not want to assimilate into the United States. By not assimilating, they're creating, bringing their own country with them, and thereby creating the overall culture that we have and freedoms that we have in America. We will not recognize our country after a short period of time. Things will change massively. So if we stuck in the illegal immigrants, or aliens, as I like to call them, as the government actually does call them, if we stop the illegal aliens coming in, we stop a whole lot of other problems.
That's true. You know, and it is about culture. There's a lot of, you know, talk about, well, we were built on this and that and the other thing. That's true. There's a lot of immigrants that came to this country. The whole country was built on immigrants. I mean, all the way back to what they call the Native Indians or Native Americans. They're not Native either. They came from Asia. Okay, so
right.
Everybody is, you know, if you want to go back, everybody in this continent is an immigrant. But the thing is, there's a difference between an invasion and immigration. An invasion is when you put up your flag, you march on another country, and you bring your culture and your values and try to enforce it on that new country. That's an invasion. Immigration is when you come to a country, ask for permission to come in. If they allow you in, you start to adopt the culture of your new home. You know, that's the difference between immigration and an invasion. So you tell me which one it is.
Yeah, amen. It clearly is an invasion. And now we have, they say it's not a crisis. Well, what do you call it? They're calling it Caravan 2 starting up, but right behind Caravan 2 starting in Honduras, there's Caravan 3. So we have two more influxes. We're talking of thousands of people rushing the border, and like you say, they're flying their own flags. They're trying to bring their own culture, and that's the problem with the Muslims too. They're coming in and trying to crush Christianity, and their ultimate goal is to rule America and to make it, Sharia law and all that.
Well,
they're bringing their stuff with them, and so that is an invasion.
Well,
bad
news. You know, it's not just the we all look at the Muslims and go, well, you know, because they got a book written that says they're good, this is what they want to do, and they want to, destroy Christianity and all Christians, kill them if they have to, and supplant, you know, our foundation with Islam. Okay, well, the people coming in from the South, the Latinos, are no different. okay, they don't have a religion that they're bringing. They don't have a book that they go, well, here's what we want to do. But they want to do the same thing in a secular way. Okay, they want to change the language. Hey, press number one for English, Dan. You know, you know, all these different things. And it's like, no, you know, I shouldn't have to push any buttons for English. It's like, look, you should learn English if you want to come to this country. I got nothing against, you know, overall, I certainly do have something against certain Latinos, like the MS-13 creeps. You know, I got a lot against them. You know, and I got a lot against any Latino sneaking into this country illegally. Because they'd have a, you know what, they'd have a problem with me if I was sneaking into their house and stealing their stuff, too. And then they'd be justified to have a problem with me if I was doing that. You know, so the thing is, they're both, you know, oh gosh, the jihadists, you know, and okay, they're a little more outspoken and they actually have a written plan and all this other stuff. But listen, the Latinos coming over the southern border are no different. They want to bring their culture. They are invading. That's the difference. And it's not a racist term, and it's not because of the Latino. I wouldn't care if they were Scandinavians coming across the border. I'm Scandinavian. I don't want Scandinavians sneaking into America.
Right. Right. And that's the point. You know, if you don't, and it goes back to that, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And, you know, we could go into lots of different reasons of why it's happening, but it is being encouraged by people in the world that want no borders anywhere. That is actually, they're trying to create order out of chaos by bringing all these people in from all these different cultures. Europe is about ruin. You know, you just can't get an honest news media to talk about it much, but Europe is about ruin. You believe some of the sights that you see in places like Paris, beautiful city. Now it looks like the slums of the ghetto. You know, just like L.A. does. And speaking of which, I wonder how long it's going to take the liberals to get tired of that.
Yeah, well, they never get tired of it because, you see, the ones making the noise and stuff, the liberals we see on TV, they don't live in those neighborhoods. They don't live with, you know, when they step out their door, they step in a pile of human feces. They don't live in those neighborhoods, okay? They live in their walled home where nobody's allowed but them and who they let in, and then they get their limo to drive inside their gate, they get in their limo, and they drive to wherever they're going. They are out of touch, and they are not part of this country, okay? The leadership of this country, for the most part, is not, and the Democrats are definitely not, because, I mean, look, I'm looking at a story here of Laura Loomer, went to Nancy Pelosi's house with a bunch of immigrants and said, hey, come on in.
That was funny.
They let us in. You know, what's the deal? Hey, wait a minute. I thought this was open to everybody, you know. Yeah, well, oh, no, that's just your stuff, okay? I'm opening up all your stuff to everybody, but my stuff, no, I got that locked up behind a wall.
Yeah.
You know, and supposedly they don't work, right?
The second funniest thing, I can't go any further until I say this. The second funniest thing of the week to me, and this was funny, it's today, and you probably know where I'm going to go with this, but we've all heard that Miss Pelosi was trying to do away with the State of the Union address of the president, or delay it, whatever, do away with it, or submit it in writing. So today, President Trump finds out that she's getting ready to fly off to this big Davos meeting in Davos. It's a big economic summit from all world leaders and things. And she's getting ready to fly off to it. And he sends her a letter at about the time her they call it congregation or whatever, congressional group is on a bus getting ready to board an Air Force plane to fly over there. And he says, by the way, I canceled that. You can't use the Air Force plane because of, the shutdown. So you'll have to fly commercial. and boy, there's a lot of anger over that. Did you hear about
it? Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. I think he should cut every dime and every perk she has and say, oh, well, you know, it's for security issues or whatever. Because what Nancy Pelosi did was she got up in front of everybody and she just simply lied. Okay? Because she said, well, you know, and this sounds reasonable to most people. Well, you know, we've got the president, the vice president, the whole Congress, the whole Senate, the whole Supreme Court, all the cabinet members. Everybody's in one place at one time. It is a special security situation, and all that's true, right? And, you know, given the government shutdown and all that, well, people are the chaos spread by, furloughs and all this, we're going to have to do it at a different time. Well, you know, that on its face, a lot of people would say, well, I get that. You know, everybody is in one place at one time, and they may be under the assumption these poor federal workers got no money and they're out on the street with a tin can begging for quarters and all that stuff. And okay, so that makes sense. We don't want anybody getting attacked because there's not enough cops around. All right, fine, but that's not the case because the head of Homeland Security says, hey, we're absolutely ready for this, and there's no problem at all. The head of the Secret Service says, hey, there's no problem at all. We plan these things months ahead, and we got it covered. There is no security problem. So what does Nancy Pelosi say today? She says, well, I don't care what they say. Oh,
right.
I see. So this is the same lion's sack of water that says, oh, well, walls don't work. Really? And except all the professionals say walls do work.
Right.
You know, because, listen, Nancy Pelosi is playing on people's ignorance. Because what do you think about when you think about, well, I'm going to put up a wall? What is your purpose? And I'm asking you personally, what is your purpose? Like if you said, okay, you know what, the neighborhood's gotten bad, and I'm going to build a wall around my property. Why would you do that? What would be your reasoning?
I can already tell you that. That's real simple because I actually had to put up a wall / fence. I have a neighbor behind me on my property that decided they were going to raise dachshunds. And, you know, they're not even really have a license. But, you know, I go out in my – unbeknownst to me, I went out in my yard one day, and here comes, like, it looked like 100, but it was probably more like – I think I counted like about 25 or so. But it looked like an invasion, 100 of them, just running at me, barking, coming from across the alley. And I went, what? And I had to pick up rocks and throw them at these dogs and get them away. But I did it to make me safe, my property safe, and to have peace. Otherwise, these animals were coming over into my yard and doing all kinds of things. So what did I do? I put up what I call a zombie fence. I had some, aluminum stuff that you use on your roof or different things for sheds. And we built a wall out back in the alley. And guess what? And it's a lot better.
There's
no problem.
Dan, these are dogs. Can't they dig under that?
Well,
I mean, that's what Nancy Pelosi says they're all going to do.
Well, I took precautions for that. Not only do I patrol my fence or my wall, I patrol it and look at it every day between me and my sons. We look at it. But also, along the bottom of it, we put a lot of rocks on the backside of it. So to date, they haven't dug under it. And we are having a lot more peace and quiet. And this makes it easier to get along with my neighbor.
You know, and the thing is, though, the first idea people have about walls is to keep people out. Or keep somebody or something out, or to keep people in or something in, okay?
Right.
That's the first thing that comes into people's minds, because that's how we think. But from a security point of view, a wall is not there to keep people in or out. It's there to slow down people who want to get in or out, and they're not supposed to. That's what it's there for, because if you put up a wall and just leave it there, and you give, I don't care who it is, a guy with a spoon. You give a guy with a spoon enough time, and he will dig a tunnel under that wall. But
sure. That's
the whole thing, the enough time deal. Nobody is suggesting that we only put up a wall and then walk away from the border and say, well, we got a wall, nothing to worry about. No, they want to put up a wall. They want to still do the surveillance. They want to do all the high-tech sensors. They still want to do all that. But the wall is there to slow them down because, see, we have a particular problem in this country that, like, say, China or somewhere else does not have the problem. Because if they put up a wall and you climb over it, they kill you when you get to the other side. Okay?
Right.
So they got that covered. Over here, we got this dim-witted idea coming out of the Supreme Court that if you fall onto this side, oh, now you get to stay. Now you got due process. Now the whole Constitution applies to you. Blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. You know, it's going to take decades
right.
to change any of that. So what do? You put up a wall. So, okay, that's going to slow you down.
Right.
And they still have the sensors. They still have the surveillance. And they can send the Border Patrol over to where we know you're trying to get through the wall and say, listen, back off the wall or we start gassing you. You know,
right.
And that's why how the wall works. It doesn't work all by itself. Okay? It
right.
works in conjunction. You've got to slow these people down. We are being invaded en masse. Okay? And that's something the Democrats don't want to admit.
Well, they don't want to admit it because it's about to look at the they want no border wall and they want no voter ID for one reason and one reason only is because these people that are coming across from these countries are more in tune to vote with Democrats that will give them things. In other words, they'll get the vote because there's Americans that are wising up. Whole groups of them, like, you know, now I think it's like, what, 40% of the black voters now agree with Trump and they like Trump. Well, people are waking up. And so, oh, the Americans, we can't convince the Americans to do this. So they have to import voters. And that's what it's all about. So they don't care. And, yeah, you have to still police the wall and add other things. It's just like my fence. Hey, yeah, I got to go out and check it and make sure the dog hasn't started to dig through or whatever. But it slows them down, and if I keep an eye on it, then it helps. But it's to slow down. Back to you.
Well, yeah, that is it. It works in conjunction. There is no one answer to anything usually, and certainly in security matters. I mean, anybody involved in any kind of anything, I mean, even some – you know, you don't even have to be a security professional if you're just a vigilant property owner. You know, hey, I gotta, you know, I can't just build a wall around my place and then just leave it. I gotta keep an eye on it. I gotta see what's going on. I gotta, you know, hey, if somebody's hanging around my wall, I gotta go find out why. You know,
right.
Yeah, because hey, guess what? I got a wall. I do. I have a 7.5-foot metal wall all, you know, around, well, it's around the front and, about maybe 100 feet on each side, you know, because I'm right by the road. And,
right.
You know, hey, again, given enough time, somebody out at my wall messing around, yeah, could get, you know, get under it or over it or through it or whatever if they're given enough time. But what am I going to do? What if I hear banging on my wall? Am I just going to go, don't worry about it. It's probably nothing. No, I'm going to go look. You know, and that's why we have the Border Patrol. This is why we have drones. Nobody's griping about all the money we spent building drones, are they? You know, and what about all these sensors they put? You know, they drop
right.
them on the other side of the fence, which is there now, pretty much a, you know, it's a cow fence.
It's a joke.
You know, but
okay.
They put them over there, and when these guys come walking by, you know, it tells them, hey, there's people here, you know, and then you can go look.
All right. Well, we're going to have to go to a break, folks. Frank, you're on a couple of times a day. What?
Yeah, 2 p.m. Pacific and also 8 p.m. Pacific for an hour each. And, you know, kind of like you, I'm just split further apart. You know, I just
right.
do 2 one-hour shows a day.
Right, folks. Well, and that's right at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. That's how I found it, AmericanVoiceRadio.com. And, hey, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning for the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad and we have to shed some tears. The end time harvest is coming soon. Must be thankful that we've been pruned. But what it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it 'cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, a little bit about the Mission Church, and we'll get back to our conversation with Frank talking about the invasion of America, and that is indeed what it is. Anyway, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, we help people, I say we help the homeless and poor. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about people that come from all over the neighborhood, all over the city, that come to us looking for other things. Because, you know, while people have, a lot of people have went back to work, the wages just isn't enough to cover a one-person job on minimum wage, can barely keep a roof over their head, let alone feed their family. And we're talking people with families with children, mom, dad, children, so on and so forth. They can't keep them close. So they come to us looking for clothes and first aid, over-the-counter medications and Bibles. We cannot keep Bibles. We try to give out King James Version large print Bibles. In fact, there's this one girl that was in there last week, and she was hurting from a broken arm from an accident on a bike. And above all her pain, she said, "Pastor Dan, you've got a Bible?" And I said, "Sure." And I gave her a large print King James Bible, about a $20 Bible. It had a leather cover on it and everything, and she was so happy. You give somebody a Bible like that that costs $15, it's got a good cover on it, you know what? They're going to keep it. They're going to cherish it. They're going to read it. But even they'll read the smallest one. But we try to give out large print Bibles. We can't even hardly keep them. In fact, I think I may have one Bible left to give out. We need Bibles. We also need clothing. I got an email just in fact as the program started. Somebody's going to drop off some clothing tomorrow. Great, because we really need it, let alone winter stuff. We need blankets and everything. People come in, and there's no hassle. They don't have to sign sheets. anything like that. They come in, they come into the clothes closet, they just walk in and get what they need. They might say, hey, have you got a sack or something so I can take some of this stuff? And so we give them a bag, like from Walmart or, you know, the local grocery store, so they can fill it up without any questions at all. You know, in James chapter 2, it says, in 2:14-20, it says, what does it profit, my brethren? Do a man say, have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and any one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But well thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Well, works is something that comes naturally. Because I love my brothers and sisters, I don't want to see them naked and destitute. So I give them those things. I don't just pray for them. I give them those things. They need a Bible. I don't just pray for them to get a Bible. I give them a Bible, if at all possible. The same with food. You know, we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't like to drive through at any time. And where else should we be but there with the sinners and the poor, as Yeshua was? We are the last hope for so many. And we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can get all that information, or you can do it over the telephone. You can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And make sure you check, if you're listening to this program, check out our other programs, especially the one we did tonight earlier with my wife about the oil flowing from a Bible. Anyway, and now we're back with Frank Stephan. Are you still with me, Frank?
I am.
Well, it took you long. There was a hesitation there.
Well, yeah, I had to bring my fader up and pull my mic over here. I didn't know when you were going to get done running your mouth. I mean, giving out important information.
See, folks, this is the kind of thing that I've had to put up with for about 2004, I think it was, when I came onto this station. But anyway, Frank, gotta love him. That's all I got to say. Anyway, we're talking about a lot of things, but mainly the border. So where do you want to go now?
Well, I don't know. I guess I am a glutton for punishment. I just can't stop reading the news, you know. And so during the break, I'm reading the news, right? And, you know.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, the Democrats, and listen, I'm not saying the Republicans don't lie, because they lie too. But I don't know, maybe the Republicans are a little better at it. Because the Democrats really stink at lying, because it's like, come on, you'd have to be a moron to believe anything these people say anymore. I mean, you really would. Because, look, just yesterday, Nancy Pelosi was all over the news saying, well, you know, we got to cancel the State of the Union because of security, right? Well, now that Trump said, okay, well, we're canceling your flight to wherever you want to go, forget about it. Take commercial if you want to go. You know, and now she says, I'm not denying the platform at all. We're saying let's get a date when government is open. Let's pay the employees. Oh, really? So now it's about let's pay the employees instead of, oh, well, there's security issues. You know, I mean, she just is a liar, man. It's like, look, you did deny it. You did it politically. You thought it'd be a cute little stunt. And now Trump has slapped you back down, and you're going to find out who the president of the United States is. And you're going to find out who you are. You're just the Speaker of the House. You're nobody. You come from one little screwed-up district full of homos and transsexuals. Okay? Your husband won't even let unions anywhere near his businesses, but yet you're the Democratic Union promoter. Give me a break. I mean, how much lies are we going to be able to stomach from these people?
Really. And that's what part of what I brought up with my wife today. It seems like, now I know we've always been able to catch them in lies and different things, but it has just seemed so blatant since, you know, Trump became president. You know, they wallow in their lies and they don't say, oh, I'm sorry, that was something wrong, you know, or whatever. They celebrate their lies just like they celebrate abortion. But, you know,
it's like what they say. You know, one of the terms they use is they keep doubling down on their lies. You know, they get caught in a lie, and instead of saying, oh, gee, okay, well, I misspoke. Well, you know, that's what a Republican will tell you when he lies, when he gets caught lying, right? He'll say, I misspoke, it was taken out of context, or whatever. The Democrats will just double down and tell more lies on top of those lies. And it's like, wow, you guys are really, really, there's something wrong with you.
Right,
I mean, because who thinks he can get away with that? Even a kid doesn't think they can get away with that with their parents. Oh, sure, kids always try to lie to their parents. But when they get caught, most kids don't keep lying. You know, they might break into tears or, you know, start apologizing or making excuses or something, but they're not just going to keep lying and go, well, you didn't believe that. Well, how's about this, Pa? And tell you another lie. Well, because Pa's going to tan your little butt if you do that. That's why, and that's what they need, okay? These Democrats were raised probably by other Democrats. And, you know, you go to your safe spot, you take your little time out, you never get your butt tanned. And that's the problem with these people. And people can say what they want about corporal punishment for children. It's necessary. And the Bible says it's necessary. And if you're a Christian and you don't believe it, then you're no Christian, because you've got to believe the Bible to be a Christian. That's the rule.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
absolutely
the way it is. And it's in the Bible, you spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Well, it says spare the rod, spoil the child. You hate your child. If you spare the rod, you hate your child. That's what it says.
Yeah.
To be specific, it says you hate them. And so why does it you hate them? Because if you love them, you know, it's like this. Truth is the ultimate form of love. That's the best thing you can do to somebody is tell them the truth. Not cushion it. Give them the truth. That's what they need. Second, so you correct them because you love them, because you want them to turn out to be a good person, to get along better in life.
Right.
And let alone, you also, as being a Christian, you have a responsibility to those around you, that your child isn't going to go out there and be a terror or go out there and shoot somebody or steal something from somebody. It's your responsibility. Now, it doesn't always work, but you have to do your best to try to make them the best that they can be, because it's your responsibility. You brought them into the world. You're the one who's supposed to make them right with the world. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and if you don't teach your kids that, listen, look, you do something, I'll talk to you. You do it again, I'm going to yell at you. You do it again, I'm tanning your behind, okay? That's it. And if you don't teach them that, they're going to have a real culture shock when they grow up and hit the real world and meet that police officer who stops them and says, stop in the name of the law. And then when the little wise butt just starts talking to a cop and the cop tases him or shoots him, oh, then it's going to be all about, oh, my gosh, I've been abused. I've been discriminated against. I've been this. I've been that. And they think this because they were never taught. This is what happens when you get completely out of control. Somebody will tell you to stop, and if you don't stop, they may shoot you.
Right.
Or tase you, or pepper spray you, or just knock you in the head with a nightstick. You know, this is the real world, okay? This is how it goes. Yeah, and I love the United States government. Well, you know, these people shouldn't revert to violence. Really? Well, let's say that the next time you start raining cruise missiles down on somebody. You know, what are you reverting to violence for? Well, because reverting to violence is sometimes the only thing you can do. And that's what teaching your children, that's what the rod is about, to teach them that, look, this is the real world. This is how it works. And I'm trying, my job is to prepare you to be an adult in society, and that's how society works. So to take that part out of their childhood and not teach them about them, it's like teaching a kid, look, you're going to be a great Olympic swimmer, and you never teach him to swim, and when he gets to be 18, you toss him in the pool, and you're shocked that he drowns.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's like this. You know, verbal threats don't work. Eventually, look, whether it's you're being bullied at school or whatever it is, eventually you have, if it's the bullies, you have to stand up and you have to take care of one at least one time. So people will show you that you're not just bluffing. And it's the same way with children. You have to spank their butt at least one time good to know that. When mom says, well, when dad gets home, you're in trouble, they know that trouble can escalate to getting your butt spanked.
Right.
You know, and that's where with my children was raising them. I didn't go through my life having to whip all my children's butt, but they did know that I would do it. So, therefore, when I spoke in my authority voice, they listened to me and they gave me respect because they knew dad would carry it through if need be.
Well, yeah.
But that point has to be proven, and it starts with that's where it's supposed to happen. The parents, when you send a child, look, we have teachers in school that are scared to death of the students. It shouldn't be that way. When I went to school, I was scared of the teachers.
Yeah,
you know?
Carried that big ruler.
Right, yeah, or big wooden paddle. I remember one time I had a shop teacher, you know, and I bragged about it. I never did anything wrong to where he really had a justification for hitting me with the paddle, right? And so one day, just for no reason, I'm bent over this table talking to this other guy, and he just snuck up behind me and whacked me with that paddle. And, oh, let me tell you what, my feet went off the ground. But let me tell you what, I never bragged again about not getting paddled. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I had a lot more respect for the dude, too, you know?
Well, you know,
because I knew he'd do it.
I had a really good friend of mine, you know, for quite some years. We were, you know, probably best friends. And he had a kid. And the thing was, you know, he had a kid with a woman who lived in California and got to the point with the kid that she didn't want to take care of the kid, okay? And now he hadn't been taking care of the kid either, and I guess the kid was probably 10 or 9 or something like that, right? You know, not
right.
Real old, but not really tiny either. And so she sent him up here. And he, you know, he had an apartment. And I was sleeping on the couch in his apartment at the time.
Right.
But I wasn't hanging out in the apartment all day. You know, I'd come and sleep there, but that was it. So his kid shows up, and he's like, you know, hey, man, you know, when I got to go to work, could you watch the kid? I'm like, well, yeah, sure. He goes, now, don't let him out of the house. Don't take him anywhere. Don't do anything. You know, he's a real handful, right? Okay. You know, and he seemed like a nice enough kid. And I was sitting there watching TV because, you know, now I was hanging out at the house because I'm watching this kid. I'm babysitting, basically. So I'm like, okay. And he's just, for whatever reason, starts running around the living room. And I mean running around, like running on top of the coffee table, running across the chair, and just running around, right? And I got it. You know, I'm thinking, okay, the kid's probably got a lot of energy and he's not allowed out or anything like that, at least not yet. But after a couple of minutes, I was like, all right, look, you got to stop, okay? And he wouldn't. And I told him, listen, man, you better stop. And he wouldn't. So I grabbed him. I threw him in the closet, which the closet was, there wasn't much in it, right? But I threw him in the closet, and I took a chair, and I put it on the door thing. He couldn't get out. Oh, and he started yelling and screaming in there. And, man, that kid, for as little as he was, he called me every name, some things I never even heard of before. And I was pretty, you know, out there with, you know, bad people who knew most words. But this kid had a mouth on him, right? So he's in there screaming and yelling at me. So my solution was I turned up the volume of the TV.
Right.
And after a while, he got tired, and he was quiet. And then I turned on the TV, and I'm watching it, and he's in there. And he finally, in this meek, you know, voice, right, says, can I come out? And you see, look, people go, well, what do you know? You've never had kids. Well, maybe so, but I've been a kid, and I've also, you know, been around a lot of people with kids.
Right.
So the whole thing about being a kid, when I hear that voice, I know, listen, don't be trying it. Don't try to pull this one on me. I'm not falling for it. And I said to him, I said, well, if you can behave for a little while, maybe. He starts cussing me out as loud as he can, right? I don't like turn up the volume again, right? So after
right.
a while, he shuts up, and he doesn't say anything for quite a while. And I finally go over to the closet, and I open the door, and I said, are you ready to, you know, act normal around here? And he's like, yeah. So I let him out. He sat down on the couch. We watched television. He was behaved. Then
right.
I decided, you know, I'm going to go down to the store and get some beer. But I got this kid here, and my friend says, ooh, don't take him anywhere, man, because he's out of control, right?
Right.
But I say, you know, he ain't, well, how out of control? I mean, what am I not going to be able to handle out of a little kid, right? So I say, look, come on, pack it up. Let's go down to the store. So we go down to the store, and the only thing he did down there was he didn't even pick up anything. He just pointed at it and he says, could I get a candy bar? I said, sure. So he gets the candy bar. I get my beer. We check out. We walk back home. No problems, right? I mean, this kid was,
right.
he sits down and he's behaving. And you know what? From that point forward, he never gave me any trouble. He was always respectful. But yet, it did not carry over to his father. Because when his father was there taking care of him, he was the same out of control, foul mouth, little pain in the behind that he had been. Because his dad had this bad habit of the first thing, his first solution was to threaten the kid, right?
Right.
But he never followed through on any of the threats
right.
he ever made. So the kid knew, blah, 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 yeah, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do nothing. See, I never threatened the kid. I just threw him in the closet.
Right.
I didn't tell him, hey, listen, you better behave or I'm putting you in the closet. I told him behave. He wouldn't. I threw him in the closet. I figured
right.
he'd figure out what just happened to him without me telling him. And he did. So, you know, the thing is, there's something to be said for physically disciplining children. They have to learn because you know why? It's not because, oh, I think beating up kids or whatever is cool or whatever. Because, you know, I'm against, there's a difference between discipline and abuse. Okay?
Right.
And the thing about it, though, is you're doing those children a big disservice by not teaching them this lesson, that there are sometimes physical consequences for your actions, because that's the way it is in the real world. You go
right.
walk into a bar, you go walk in, hey, how about I go walk into your mission? And I just get in the face of the biggest guy I can find in there, and I just start cussing him out, calling him names. Now, how long is it going to be till he shuts me up? Not long. Not that long. Because this is the way it goes in the real world. You just can't do that. And they, you know, they were never taught this. So these little children who get to time out and go stand in the corner times, they hit the real world and they think this is how things run. And it's not fair to them to do this. It really isn't.
No, it isn't. No, not at all. And you brought up the missing church. And it is like that in this sense. You come in there and you are loud or obnoxious or something, you're going to get a quick warning from me. And the second time I don't warn you, you are out of the place. You may not be out of it permanently. You know, sometimes it's for the day. Sometimes it's for 30 days. Sometimes it's, you know, longer than that. Usually until the person comes back and figures out that he has to say he's sorry, and then he'll behave, and I say, okay, you're forgiven, you can come back in. But I make him go through that process, and everybody knows it. And so that's why all these shelters, you go into them, people are being stabbed, shot, raped in parking lots and all kinds of things. And you come down to our place, and it's, hey, guess what? It's a place of peace. And that's because there's rules. The rules are enforced, and they're enforced quickly. And so people appreciate that. And they want to come to a safe place. That's
yeah, sure. And these other, you know, these other places too. I know other missions. I've been to other missions where I've seen people banned for life. And, you know, right. I've seen them try to come back to the mission and try to apologize, and they won't have any of it.
You have to teach them that lesson. The fodder forgives, so I'm not great. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So that's what we're supposed to do. But when you teach them that lesson of repentance,
right,
and they gain their rights back, then that's a big thing. That's a real big thing.
Well, yeah, that is. And you know, you're teaching responsibility, the right way to act, and also, you know, God's love and forgiveness. You know, this is not cruelty to anybody. Cruelty is allowing people to remain ignorant. It's like sending a kid to go, well, okay, you know, 18 years old, you show up for the job, and it's a heavy machinery place, and you don't know anything, and I just tell you, oh, yeah, just go run that grinder over there, you know, that thing with all the big, gears on it. You'll be fine. Well, yeah, that's not a good plan. But that's how everybody is sending their children these days into the world.
Right.
Yeah, you'll be fine. No problem. You don't need any instruction. You'll be good. You're a smart kid. Yeah.
Right.
After you lose a few fingers, you might learn. But, you know, that's not, you know, you can avoid that. If you can avoid that, why not avoid it?
You right. know? Absolutely. And if you love that child, so you're going to save him fingers. And you're going to save what he might do to somebody else. It's going to save a lot of things. But
yep.
You see, we live in a world now that's being dominated by the devil. And the devil says, do whatever you will. And he puts that out. Oh, just talk to him. So on and so forth. And so, hey, it's when they say it's okay, it's just really not. Well, Frank, thanks for being on with me. I'm going to let you go. And that'll give me a couple of seconds to say goodbye to the people. So.
All righty. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Folks, make sure you come and listen to Frank. It's called The Frank Report. He's on a couple of times a day, and you can find him at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. And, of course, Frank always says, well, right here where you're listening to this program. Well, this goes to podcast, so it might not be where you're listening to this program, although this program isn't a pre-recorded podcast. It just happens to be on podcast later. You can figure that out. Remember, folks, share radio programs with other people. If you want to help us, you can help in that mannerism. Go over and visit our YouTube channel. But if you go to prophecyhour.com, you can find the information to do all those things. We do really need your support. When I say that I need your support to stay on the air, it's like this. Messiah's Branch is, we're like a home church with a building. We don't sell anything. The commercials that you hear on this program, those are the station's commercials. They're not our sponsors to stay on this program. So we have to rely on your donations to pay airtime and to pay the internet and all of the things. You know what it costs to be on the internet, and so to speak, and we're also on radio. We have to pay for airtime. So pray about supporting airtime. If you make a donation for airtime, make sure that you mark it for mark radio. So, anyway, but remember, folks, there is only one God. Who is he? He's your father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and 3 nights. Folks, that is the marker. He said that was his sign, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, 3 days and 3 nights. And so that's his marker. He loves us, but you have to repent, you have to turn away and get out of sin. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. We was talking earlier about James chapter 2, and that's what it's saying. If you're a blessing to others, if you're saved, it's just natural to be a blessing to others. So be a blessing to others. Pray for the true peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua as we turn. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West
4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.